Blog Talk Radio.
Contradicting what about the type of mathematics. Just trusting Yahweh's word and what he say will happen.
Let's go.
It's the delight of my soul, the only thing that controls. This is the sweetest of roll that I ate in this hole. You know it's the Almighty, the one who's always right. Be you see the light in the sky, you know it's day. And then it's night when the lesser light shines. It's the most sublime, the most profound, the illest sound. Never around this town, around this globe. It be the Torah of Yahweh Elohim. Do you understand the things that I speak in these days of the last? It comes past when these people about to fall off the earth like grass. With this, like the flower fades. You know how it is these days. People getting played, being told lies of age. But my words, they spray, proclaim my most high name. And you know how it is. We ain't playing no games. No, you give me this word, so it beats the fire. And y'all be like wood burned up. Tell me that you could ever test black. Never that. Step back. Don't make me grab the cat. Quickly, they go click to the clack. Y'all can't see how it all comes all into one meaning of truth. It be Yahweh. I'm up in the booth doing what I do. Teaching my youth. Y'all cats better know the truth in here. There's no spears. There's no squares. There's only one Yahweh. The Elohim. I'm the son. It's Yahweh. Lock and I'm done. I'm done.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is there and is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Again, I give the Creator of the universe, the Elohim of our fathers, all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, for he has allowed us to come before you another day, even on this sixth day, that we might bring his true, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for the Creator ordained me to tell you the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is there and is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He is our judge. He is our lawgiver. And Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel, but Yah is the Savior of the world. And I thank the Most High Yah for his mercy endure forever. This week we've been dealing with the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all that is therein is. And why? What is its significance? Well, little do people know that our enemies, with their various religions, with their various ideologies and psychologies and Scientologies, have deceived our people in thinking things about the heaven, the earth, the sea that is totally contrary of the Creator's word. In Christianity, they will have you to believe that in order for you to get to heaven, you have to die. They say when you die, you go to heaven. Well, you got people going to heaven all the time, as we've been showing all week. Because the heaven is not disconnected from the earth or the sea. It's very connected. Then you will have also another religion in Islam. According to the Quran, they don't, since you got one religion going up in the sky, their religion would teach you that you're going to paradise. And this paradise is not up, but it's down, going into the ground, what they call paradise. And in this paradise, it will tell you some of the blessings that one will receive to get in paradise. One of these blessings is that those who make it to paradise, they will have rivers of wine available to them. Just a bunch of rivers flowing with wine. They also will have these beautiful big eye, and I'm not adding anything to the Quran because they say big eye. These beautiful big eye women that they call virgins, that the men who make it to paradise will have. Now, today, if you ask a Muslim today, especially those that believe and teach or follow the way of the Nation of Islam and many other ones, they don't drink at all. They teach you don't even supposed to drink alcohol. But yet, many of the Muslims that I know not only drink alcohol, but they have stores selling alcohol to any man who will buy. And even if they didn't drink alcohol, when they get to paradise, they got rivers full of it. And they have these virgins. And I asked the various imams who are the leaders and the teachers of Islam, well, what would the women have since the men will have these big, beautiful eyed virgins? What will the women have? What is their gift, their blessing in paradise? And yes, just like you got from me, you got silence. That's what you get from them, because in the Quran, it don't tell you at all what a woman would get if she make it to paradise. But it'll tell you about the men. Because one of the lowest things in the Quran is a woman. And what about Judaism? In Judaism, They don't believe in some type of hell that one will go in a lake of fire and burn, nor do they believe that one will go to heaven and live in the pearly gates and fly in heaven. They believe that you got to live the fullest of your life today and hand it down to your children from one generation to the next, because they believe once they have the opportunity to live on earth, that's it. There is no afterlife in Judaism. Now, who practice Judaism? The Jewish people. This is why many of them hoard every precious, valuable mineral or substance they can get their hand on. All the various precious stones and diamonds, gold, silver. Many of them own the various financial institutions that one will go to get a loan. They the ones that's charging all the interest, causing inflation. Yes, it's the Jewish people. They're not going to tell you that. But yes, they control most of the world's wealth. Likewise, the various music industry, the media industry, they control it. And why? Because they believe that you got to live out your life today the fullest, because they don't expect to be back. And they hoard it and then hand it down to their children. And they hoard it and they hand it down to their children. And this goes from generation to generation. And I'm here to tell you, none of them are telling you the truth. Our people have been totally deceived, bamboozled, lied to. But all these religions, ologies, these things are plague, not only to our people, but also to the earth. And we brought you the truth of what Yahweh said heaven is, what Yahweh said the earth is, and what Yahweh said the sea is. He said, according to the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the 6th through 8th verse, he told you that heaven was a firmament that he put in the midst of the waters to divide the waters from the waters. And there was waters above this firmament and waters below this firmament. In this mist and this firmament that he separated the water from the waters, he called heaven. And when the Almighty made various sea creatures as well as the fowls, he let the fowls fly in the open firmament of the heaven, because that's heaven when you go up. Where do you think the clouds at? Yeah, in heaven. Think when you get in a plane and you fly above the clouds, what do you think that's called? Heaven. When you go up in a helicopter and a rocket, what do you think they're going? Where are they flying? Heaven. But no, your enemies will tell you, well, that's still earth. Because they don't know what heaven is. So what is earth? According to the scriptures, earth is what Yahweh called the dry ground. He said, let the dry ground appear. And he called it earth. That's all earth is. This is why Yahweh said, dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Because that's what we are. We dust. We were made from the dust of the earth. And then you might ask yourself, well, what is the sea? Well, according to the scriptures in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, Yahweh said the sea is the gathering together of the waters in one place. And when they gather together into one place, Yahweh called that the sea. And so, since Yahweh made these things, Yahweh will have us to memorialize these things by keeping, by observing his great Shabbat. And he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah, thy Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days Yah made heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So since he did this in 6 days, since he made this in 6 days, and what did he make? The heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. So he told us to work 6 days and rest the Sabbath day, because in it he rested. And why did he do that? Just to reflect on his work. So this is what he wants us to do, to reflect on his work. And this is why the Most High tell us that if we turn our foot to keep the Sabbath day, not doing our own pleasure, not speaking our own words, not finding our own ways, then Yahweh will cause us to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed us with the heritage of Yaakov. In other words, we will go home. This is what he promised to do if we will do this thing. This is how we know those who believe and teach that you cannot keep the Sabbath day are highly, totally mistaken. And what they're saying and what they're teaching is in total error. And I want us to know that, as I stated before, the heaven, the earth, and the sea is totally connected with one another. They're connected. We have to know how they're connected. For one day, this is what Yahweh said he will do. In the book of Isaiah 66. In the book of Isaiah 66. And we're going to read the 22nd verse. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. Why? Because Yahweh has proposed, Yahweh has prophesied that he will make a new heavens and make a new earth. And why? Because all these things have been polluted under the inhabitants thereof. And the earth is not the only thing inhabited. So are the heavens. The heavens is no place where it don't have life. It has plenty of life in the heavens. So much life. Look what Yahweh had to say concerning the heaven. And then you can see how we are connected. Because if you don't understand this connection, then how can you be saved? That's how important this connection is. For example, if we turn to the book of Ecclesiastes and watch what the scriptures teach us and show us about our relationship with the heaven and the sea. And let's see if you have allowed yourself to take things for granted. The first thing I want you to see is in the book of Ecclesiastes, the fifth chapter. And watch what this says. And we're going to start at the very first verse. And let's see if you adhere to this. If this is something that you do. It says in the first verse, Ecclesiastes 5, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of Elohim, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. In other words, oftentimes when our people come together, instead of our people being more ready to hear, they are more ready to talk. Instead of them being more ready to listen, they prepare their hearts to be more ready to tell. And no, you have to be more ready to hear, because our people have not considered the fact that they're doing evil. And I'm going to show you how evil their behavior is. Watch what it says. And then you'll see why this is important. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before Elohim. For Elohim is in heaven. So what do that have to do with you? Elohim is in heaven. And thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. And this thing our people don't want to do. They don't want their words to be few. They don't want to be more ready to hear. Everybody want to talk. Everybody want to get the last word in. Everybody thinks since it's their mouth, they can say what they want to say, when they want to say it, and how they want to say it. Because nobody is going to control them but them. And this type of spirit is an abomination to Yahweh. And then our people also believe, since it was said to them, this gives them the license and the opportunity to say it back. This is also an abomination. Because there's only one thing and one thing only that is acceptable to Yahweh. And that is, let thy words be few. But no, the words of our people, they're not few at all. Furthermore, still in the book of Ecclesiastes, so every day you should be waking up with the mindset, with the thought, I'm going to let my words be few today. I'm going to praise Yah. I'm a shalom. But I'm not about to gossip. I'm not about to be a talebearer. I'm not about to be a revealer of secrets. I'm not about to just run my mouth. According to the scriptures, teach a fool is known by the multitude of words. So the more you talk, the more you do evil. I know some people like to talk, and they'll tell you, I like to talk. But little do you know, this is not wisdom. This is foolishness. The scriptures say the multitude of words warn of sin. In other words, you're going to talk yourself right into sin, as fools do. And how do you know a fool? By the multitude of words. So let thy words be few, for Elohim is in heaven, and thou art upon earth. Watch what it says. Speaking about the various relationship that we have with the earth. And let me show you. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, watch what the scriptures say. Starting at the 9th verse. The thing that have been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Oftentimes we try to tell our children, we try to tell the younger generation that there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing that you can tell me that I ain't either experienced or have not heard, because there's nothing new under the sun. But then we have a bunch of young people that want to tell the older people, how are you going to tell us? And you hadn't even reached the level that we have walked. We have trailed. We have ascended to. That's like somebody telling you that's 10, 15, 20 years younger than you something. How are they going to do that? But I know, since you got your own mind and you got your own mouth and you got your own brain, you think you can tell somebody older something. And trust me, it's not because they really don't know. It's not because they really had not heard. It's just they have rejected many things. And so now they try to reach back to the younger generation to tell them, look, you don't have to end up like me. You don't have to be like me. You can be better than me. These are the mistakes that I made, because there's nothing new under the sun. Watch what it says. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It had been already of old time, which was before us. So if it was of old time, then you got some old people that can tell you about some old time things. But not this generation. You can't tell them nothing, because they know it all. Then it says, there is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. Watch this, because this is the part I want you to get. This is what King Solomon said. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. I searched it out. I sought it. All the things that are done under the sun. This sore travail have Elohim given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. In other words, he gave us the ability to exercise, to search these things out, to seek it. But at the end of the day, this is what Solomon wanted you to know. After seeking, after searching, by wisdom, watch what he says in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. There was no man wiser than Solomon. And this was the bottom line. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9. Watch what it says. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yet he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. And this is what we're reading today. The words of the wise are as gold, as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. In other words, these words of the wise can't be rooted up. They're like something fastened by the master of assemblies. And he said in the 12th verse, and further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So I don't have to worry about all the evil things people say about me, all the evil things people want to do to me. Why would I concern myself with that? Yahweh, Elohim, will bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He's going to even bring every secret thing in judgment, because there's some secret things that's going on that you don't even know about, that's happening to you and I. You don't know what's happening, but Yahweh knows what's happening. Even those things will be brought unto judgment. And this is a man that gave his heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. But he lived on earth, because the heaven and the sea and the earth are all connected with one another. They're connected. Watch what it says in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. And this is what it says. In Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, the very first verse. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And what is this time? What is this purpose that's done under the heaven? And then it will let you know. It's a time to be born under heaven, but there's a time to die. There's a time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. And all this is done under heaven. Why? Because the heaven eyes are open to everything that is done under it. The heaven's ears are open to every sound and every voice in the earth. Watch what it says. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. And what we teach you here at the House of Israel, we teach you time and purpose. Because it's important to know time and purpose. Because there's a time and a purpose a time to every purpose under heaven. And to everything there is a season. And if you want to know time, then you also need to know purpose. And there's a purpose for heaven. And heaven is very relevant to those who will pay attention to the knowledge of the holy on earth. Watch what the scriptures tell us in the book of 2 Chronicles. In the book of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, and watch what it says. And we're going to start at the 11th verse. Thus Solomon finished the house of Yahweh and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of Yahweh and in his own house, he prosperously effected. And Yahweh appeared to Solomon by night. And this is how Yahweh often comes to our people, by night in their dreams or through a vision. and said unto them, I've heard thy prayer, and I've chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, watch what the Creator says. If my people, which are called by my name, watch what he say, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Look what Yahweh said he would do. One of the very things that he will do if we humble ourselves and pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, he will hear us from heaven. And that's significant. That's important. Who don't want to hear from heaven? I mean, don't want to be heard from heaven. Who don't want the blessings of heaven? Who don't want the dew of heaven? The scientists, the evil scientists will have you to believe that's not heaven, that's just space. It's just space. And we're going out to space. And we're looking out to space. Well, what's space? Space ain't, what is space? Space. No, but what Yahweh is saying, he will hear us from heaven. But little do people know, they don't really understand the relationship that the heavens have with the inhabitants of the earth. And here we're letting you know the heavens are active in our work, in our actions, in the earth. So why would you need to go to heaven when all the work that you're doing is being recorded? And all the blessings that you receive is being poured down. So, for example, what Yahweh tell us in the book of Malachi. People talking about they want to go to heaven, but they don't even want to do the things on earth to receive the blessings of heaven. Watch what the scripture says. In the book of Malachi, the third chapter, the seventh verse. Even from the days, 3 and 7, Malachi, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said Yahweh. But you say, wherein shall we return? And even after Yahweh answered the question, you still don't believe him. Watch what he says in the 8th verse. Will a man rob Elohim? Question. And the answer Yahweh gave, yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he tell you exactly, were you robbing him? And he said, in tithes and offerings. In other words, you're not giving no tithe. Tithe just means tenth. And you're robbing me in offerings. You got people saying, well, I don't believe in tithes. Well, do you believe in offerings? Because you're not giving nothing. And as a result of not believing in tithes, not believing in offerings, watch what the Creator says. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Nobody is innocent. Nobody. And watch what he says. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And what is the tithe? The tithes just mean tenth. That there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. This is what Yahweh said he would do. Of course, our people, which we're going to be dealing with next week, they don't even know what a blessing is. This is how you know our people don't know what a blessing is, because our people, they steady, constantly, consistently complain. They complain, and they're around a bunch of people that complain, and everybody complaining to one another about something. Not realizing Yahweh have blessed you in some kind of way, but you too busy complaining to even see the blessings, to see his goodness, to count and to number his tender mercies. You will never see it because you're a complainer. And not only are you complaining through your behavior, but you're complaining with your words. And did not Yahweh say, let your words be few? But no, this is not what you want to do. And why? Because you have no connection with heaven. None at all. You're not going to get tithes and offering. Therefore, you're not going to get the blessings of heaven. You're not going to let your words be few, even though Elohim is in heaven and thou upon earth. Because you have no connection with heaven. And show you what I mean about complaining. All our people do is complain. It's the leader's fault. Israel ain't doing nothing. Israel ain't nothing. Just complain, complain, complain. Watch this in the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter. It says in the book of Exodus 16. 16th chapter of Exodus, the first verse, and they took their journey from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. In other words, exactly 30 days after departing the land of Egypt. This is what happened. Now, you know, when they departed Egypt, Yahweh will work great wonders. He delivered the children of Israel. And he showed them signs and wonders, great and sore, and saved them by a great deliverance. And 30 days after this happened, just imagine, 30 days after you win the lottery, 30 days after your life was saved, if you had open heart surgery, or you survived a car accident, or you've been healed from some great disease. In other words, you was delivered. And 30 days later, watch what the children of Israel did, because this is what our people do today. The second verse. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moshe and Aharon in the wilderness. In other words, what you got to complain about? You didn't see how Yahweh blessed you? You didn't see Yahweh's love and tender mercies? You didn't see what the very works that Yahweh did and what he had to go through and do to bring you out? And even today, Yahweh will make a way out for you, and then you will complain. And it's only because you have no connection. You have no relationship. You have no interconnection with heaven at all. Because if you did, you would already know what I'm about to show you. Watch what it says. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to Elohim we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. In other words, now that you're hungry, now that you're thirsty, now you want to complain. That's all it took for you to forget everything else good that was done, to be hungry and to be thirsty. Watch what it says in the fourth verse. Then said Yahweh unto Moshe, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Yahweh said, look, I'm going to prove to see if they're going to walk in my law or not. I'm going to do something real beautiful. I'm going to do something real good. I'm going to do something real special for them. I'm going to rain bread from heaven. Other nations, can it be said? Has it been told? Has it been done? Where Yahweh rained bread for them to eat. No other nation. This has never been heard of ever. By no nation. By no people. But yet, it happened to our people. According to the scriptures, our people ate angel's food. Not some angel cake that was made by your enemies. We ate real angel food. But it was a test to see if we keep his law. And let me tell you, our people didn't. They didn't keep his law. They didn't even appreciate it. They complained about this bread. Just like our people are complaining today, no different. And why? They don't want their words to be few, even though Elohim is in heaven and thou art upon earth. They're not going to pay tithes and offering, even though Yahweh said he will pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive it. and they're not going to humble themselves. They might pray, but they're not going to humble themselves and then pray and then turn from their wicked ways, that he might hear from heaven. These are the things that let you know whether you are connected with the heavens. For Yahweh, the heavens, the earth, and the sea are all connected with one another. Look what the Creator lets us know. Even in the book of Genesis, watch this. Book of Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis, the first chapter, the 26th verse. This is what it says. And Elohim said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And watch what he says. "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of heaven." Because that's what it is. I know in your scripture it say fowl of the air. Now, these are fowl of heaven. You know it's the fowl of heaven, because watch what it says in Genesis, the first chapter, the 20th verse. "And Elohim said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." So the fowl is in the heaven. And who has dominion over that? Man. And over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Yeah, man. Watch what it says in the 28th verse. "And Elohim blessed them. And Elohim said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of heaven, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth." This is the great responsibility that Yahweh gave unto man, for it is man that he created in his own image and after his own likeness. This is why we must have a connection. We must understand. We must seek out wisdom about the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is there and is. Because we all are connected together. And you must see our connection. Watch what it says in the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter. Here we just say anything, not knowing, not realizing Elohim is in heaven. We refuse to humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways so that Yahweh can hear from heaven. We will complain about everything, not realizing that most of the things that you go through in life is just a test. Anyway, Yahweh said he's going to prove to see whether you're going to keep his law or no. And I'll show you that in the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Most of your adversity is just a test. It's just a test. And we fail miserably because we refuse to humble ourselves. We complain. And a complainer is not humble. They're not humble at all. You complain all the time. How's that humble? We're in Genesis, the 9th chapter, and watch what it says. The first verse, and Elohim blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast, and upon every fowl of heaven, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fish of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Into your hand. Watch what it says in the 8th verse. And Elohim spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And Elohim said, this is the token of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations, I do set my bow in the cloud. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between Elohim and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. So as you can see, we have a great, important, significant, everlasting relationship with the heavens. For the heavens, the earth, the sea, they all are connected with one another. And let me tell you, not just the heavens. Let me show you the significance of the sea. Watch what it let us know in the book of 2 Samuel, the 2nd chapter. Samuel 7. Make that 1 Samuel, not 2 Samuel. 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter. And we in 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter. I just want you to see this and watch what this says. We're going to start at the first verse. And the men of Kirjath Yearim came and fetched up the ark of Yahweh and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of Yahweh. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after Yahweh. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto Yahweh with all your hearts, then put away the strange deities and the deity from among you, and prepare your hearts. Then put away the strange deities from among you, and prepare your hearts unto Yahweh, and serve him only. And why come our people don't want to do that? They always want to put something beside Yahweh. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away the deity and serve Yahweh only. But I want you to see what they did. And Samuel said, fifth verse, gather all Israel to Mizpah. Where's Mizpah? Where's that at? For what? And I will pray for you unto Yahweh. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water. Where did they get this water from? From a well? From the sink in their house? No. They drew water at the river of Mizpah. Watch what it says. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before Yahweh and fasted on that day and said, there, we have sinned against Yahweh. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Now, if this was good for our fathers, since the children of Israel have sinned against the Most High, then why aren't we fasting? Why aren't we praying? And why aren't we pouring water out to Yahweh as our fathers have done? Is not he the one that have created and made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein? Is? Yes, he is. Watch what happens when they go, what they would do in the book of Ezra, the 8th chapter. Let us turn there. In the book of Ezra, the 8th chapter, watch what it says in the 21st verse. Then I proclaim a fast there at the river of Ahava. Why has it got to be at a river? What's so important about the river of Ahava? We just read about the river of Mizpah, but now we at the river of Ahava, where a fast was proclaimed. Did they just happen to stumble on the river? No. They understood the connection, the relationship between the heaven, the earth, and the sea, that we might afflict ourselves before our Elohim to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require the king of band soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we have spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our Elohim is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and we besought our Elohim for this, and he was entreated of us. This is what they did at the river. They fasted and they sought the Most High. So I asked our people, what are we waiting for? Furthermore, in the book of Daniel, and let's see what Daniel did. In the book of Daniel, in the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter, and watch what it says. The second verse. In those days, Daniel was mourning 3-4 weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all until 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. Why are you at this river, Daniel? Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of upaz. His body was like the beryl, his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as the lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like the color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And watch what it says in the 12th verse. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy Elohim, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. And here, just like Samuel at the waters of Mizpah, just like Ezra at the waters of Ahava, Daniel at the waters of Hiddekel, they all will humble themselves. They all will fast. They all will pray. At the sea and receive vision. Is this not what we've been telling you about the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and how we are all connected? And let's see about the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the first chapter. Let us turn there. In the first verse, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kabar, that the heavens were opened. And I saw visions of Elohim. Why the rivers of Kabar? 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of Yahweh came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzah, in the land of Chaldeans by the river Kabar. And the hand of Yahweh was there upon him. Now do you see the connection between the heaven, the earth, and the sea? And all that is therein is? Maybe you still don't. So let us go to one of our other fathers in the book of 2 Samuel 23. We showed you how you must be connected with the heavens, also must be connected with the sea. Watch what it says in the book of 1 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. Once again, I do apologize. It's 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, not 1 Samuel, but 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. And watch what this says. 2 Samuel 23. And these were the mighty men of David. And watch what happens. In the 15th verse. We'll start at the 14th verse. And David was then in the hold. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines because they had occupied Bethlehem and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto Yahweh. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Yahweh, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he will not drink it." These things did these three mighty men. In other words, he offered it to Yahweh. Since Yahweh blessed these three men, gave these men the might to even consider and accomplish the words of David, David would not allow their lives to be in vain for doing such a thing. He didn't drink it because he was not the one who prospered their way. He poured it out to Yahweh. These are the things that we should be considering. These are the thoughts of the heart that Yahweh is looking for. More scripture. In the book of Psalms. Psalms 137. In the book of Psalms 137. Watch what it says. The very first verse. By the rivers of Babylon, let down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there, they that carried us away captive were cried of us as song. And they that wasted us require of us mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How shall we sing Yahweh's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the root of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, Remember, O Yahweh, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed. Happy shall he be that rewarded thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Yes. This was sung by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, where we wept, when we remember Zion. And let me tell you, these things have not gone unnoticed or undone, because in 2016, we went to the rivers of Babylon, where our people came off the boat, chained, shackled, and butt naked. And we went right back to the location of the crime. And we prayed. And we fasted. And we put on sackcloth. And we put dirt on our heads. And we took of the river and poured it out to Yahweh. This is what we did. But don't fret, because this is what we will do this summer. We will gather ourselves together July the 29th. Through August the 3rd, where we will have an opportunity once again to humble ourselves, once again to pray to Yahweh for our sins, transgressions, and iniquities. And this time, we will not just pour one time, but we will pour of the rivers, the waterfalls, even here in Babylon, to Yahweh. So we pray that you will join us July the 29th through August the 3rd, where we will gather ourselves together. Visit our website, worldgatheringyisrael.org. WorldGatheringYisrael.org. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you. So do I. Shalom.
Mercy, and it's love and kindness, 'cause I know that I ain't worthy.